Always blessed by our music ministry and our leadership there. And thank you so much. Good to worship God. That's what we've been called to do. I don't know if you've noticed in the last 3 or 4 months, work going on the right side of the gym. And there's been a mess sometimes. There's been huge amounts of dirt, red dirt, good old South Carolina dirt, and it's piled up and all. Well, it's sort of gone now. And what has occurred was many more months beyond that, the gas company notified us, they already had a little facility there, some pumps and that kind of thing, that they were going to have to expand and do more work and all this kind of thing. Anyway, they didn't ask if we would like to sell a portion of our land, and just a small strip right there, but they told us we are going to sell that portion of land, and we will pay you this much for it. And there's no dickering, so to speak. Anyway, they paid us and they began work, and I got a little jealous many days, and we all did, and got to know some of those guys working over there, and just good guys. I'd go over many, many mornings during the week and either speak to them or we would gather for prayer. I appreciated that. And even though most of them were from Alabama, I pull for Clemson. I'm a pastor and I'm a Christian. And just got to know some of them. Well, many mornings we would come to work and they would be sitting in lawn chairs, and especially in the summer they'd have these tents up, and they would sit there all day long. And we said, man, I'm going to quit ministering and get a job with them, you know? But I went over there to find out one day. I said, man, you guys, what's going on here? And what it was, it's not that they were being lazy or they didn't want to work or anything like that. They had, of course, you've heard the word bureaucracy, right? They filled out all this paperwork and submitted it, and it was approved here and here and here. But when it got to the headquarters, they had to rearrange everything, and they couldn't dig a shovel full of dirt until everything was checked off. And they couldn't do anything but just sit and wait, and that was harder than working. They knew what their future was. They were going to complete this job and move on, which they have now, to High Point, North Carolina, but they couldn't get there yet. You know, have you ever been that way? You know what your future is, or you're looking toward the future, or you're hoping for your future, you're trying to prepare for your future, but you just can't quite get there. Well, I'm in a little series called Preparing for Your Future, for today and for tomorrow, and today we're going to look at this from Luke chapter 18. Lord, I want to see. Lord, I want to see. Great little story we're going to be looking at. God has a future for us. He told us in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, plans not to harm you or to hurt you, but plans to give you a future and a hope. And God has that in store for all of us. He has a purpose for each and every one, and in that purpose, He's given us, each and every one of us, a future. I preached the first sermon, the first of two, on having to plan for our future. Last week, I preached on needing to know where we're going. And third, we need to get a vision for our future today. And there's a word that really sticks in my mind sometimes, because I listen to people, and very often they're telling me about their issues and what's going on in their lives, and sometimes they're sharing with me and all that. And the word I hear many times is the word see, S-E-E. And they'll say, Pastor, I just don't see my way out of this mess. Pastor, I don't see how this can be good. Pastor, I don't see any hope for my future. Because of that, I believe many people have lost their vision for one reason or another. They've lost their vision for their job, for their work. They've lost their vision for the future. They've lost their vision for their finances or their family or some relationship or their health or whatever need it may be. Proverbs 29:18 tells us this. You know this verse. Where there is no vision, what? The people perish, don't they? Now, the Hebrew word for vision, which is what Proverbs was written in, literally means a dream, okay? He said, where there is no dream, you have no vision. You've got to have a dream for your life. I think the poorest person in the world is someone without a dream, and especially someone without hope. We've got to have a vision for our life. We've got to know where we're going. Otherwise, we're going to drift around in life. The Hebrew word for perish means this: out of control. Where there is no clear objective, where there is no vision for our future, where there our lives are out of control. In other words, they're perishing, so to speak. Today's scripture, it's mentioned in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke as well. Let me give you quickly a background on this story, okay? It centers around the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, and it's a special week in his life. It's his last week. The Son of God has left heaven, became a man, and he's lived among us. The light was among us. And now it's his last week. He's heading toward Jerusalem. He knows exactly what God's future for him is. And that is, he's going to become a sacrifice for our sins. For all the sin that comes short of the glory of God. And he's going to take up our sin upon him and pay the penalty and the price so that we might be saved. He knows they're going to arrest him in Jerusalem. They're going to crucify him. But 3 days later, he'll come back to life. He'll resurrect. The whole purpose of why he came to earth. Now, don't you think he had a lot on his mind? Even though he's God, he's still in a human body. He's still got human emotions and all that. And not only that, but at this point in his ministry, the crowds are absolutely enormous that's following him. They're everywhere he goes, there they are. And he's walking south to the city of Jerusalem, and he has to go through the town of Jericho. And as he's come to Jericho, there at the city gate was a crowd of beggars, okay, a group of beggars. And this was just like every city and town and major city in the Middle East in those days, that there were beggars at the gates. There were those who couldn't walk and whatever, you know, but especially there was those who were blind. And if you were blind, that meant you lived in absolute poverty, because you were going to be a beggar either most of your life or all of your life. You would depend upon the mercy and the pity of other people. It was a very miserable life, I would dare say, to live without vision. Let me read to you what Luke said in chapter 18, verses 35 through 42. As Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, Mark says his name was Bartimaeus. B-A-R, bar, means son of. He was the son of a man named Timaeus, Bartimaeus. Hearing a crowd passing by, he couldn't see, he asked what all this was about. And they said this: Jesus the Nazarene is passing by. That's how they knew him at that point. So he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd, those in front of him, said, be quiet, shut up. But he kept crying all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, it got Jesus' attention because he stopped. And he commanded that the blind man be brought to him. And when the blind man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. Listen to this. The next words out of the mouth of Jesus: receive your sight. Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Now get this. Instantly, he could see, and Bartimaeus began to follow him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. Now, there's a lot of people, maybe even some in here, who can see pretty good physically, you know, but they have no vision for their lives. And I think most people go through life without vision. They're spiritually blind. And the way we see our future is the way that we will live our future. The way we perceive tomorrow is the way we're going to experience tomorrow. The way we see ourselves and the way we see the different areas of our lives, our money, our relationships, our family, our work, how we see God, how we see ourselves, that's what we're going to experience. It is all about vision. And this little story about Jesus healing the blind man and restoring his vision, I believe we get the process by which God gives you your vision or gives you your vision back. And here's the first step, just a few little steps I want to share with you today. Number one, what did Jesus say healed him? Your faith, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus honored his faith. Number one, I need to believe. If I want to be able to spiritually see, if I want a vision for my life and for my future, I need to believe in Jesus, and I need to believe that he can change my life and my situation. That's the starting point. Can I tell you what I think this step is? Another name for it? I believe it's called the hope step. The hope step. Because everything starts with hope. If you don't have hope, you've got no power to cope. You must have hope to change. Hope is believing Jesus Christ can change this situation that I'm in. I don't know how he'll change it. I don't know what his answer for you may be. But I do know this. The amount of faith that you have is the amount he's going to change it. Verses 35 through 38. We read, Jesus came near to Jericho. There was the beggar sitting there, and this blind man said, what's going on? And they said, Jesus of Nazarene is passing by. And he began crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. One blind guy, out of hundreds of people probably there, in spite of the crowd, he decides to start shouting, hey, Jesus, hey, I'm over here. I can't see you, but look at me. He's making a scene. And the crowd looks at him and he goes, hey, who do you think you are? Be quiet. And he cried all the more. And this was not a cry of desperation, I don't think so much. It was a cry of hope. Because I believe this blind guy thought, and he believed, if I don't believe Jesus can heal me, I'm not going to embarrass myself in front of this crowd. The answer to my problem is just a few feet away. I'm not going to miss this. It all begins with hope. And there's a lot of people who have lost their hope, and the reason they've lost their hope is because they put their hope in the wrong source. Can I share with you, not only from my experience, but what I believe with all my heart? This book, the Bible, tells us there's only one source of hope that will never, ever disappoint. Now, I may question sometimes. I may even have a doubt or two come in, but you know what? God has never, ever disappointed me. Has he you? Has he? If you're going to have a source of hope, you don't put it in anything that could be taken away from you. That could even be a living person, you know? Hope must be in Christ alone, because only he can meet all of our needs. Only God could do that. I like what 1 Peter 1:3 says. Peter says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. How? He writes, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Pretty good thing to put your hope in, don't you think? And if you're putting your hope in stuff that you cannot guarantee and you can't control, you are going to be disappointed. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how Bartimaeus lost his vision. A lot of ways you could lose your vision and go blind. But the key to getting our vision back is to do what Bartimaeus did. First is take a step of hope in Jesus Christ. Secondly, real quickly, ignore the negative voices. Does anyone in here not have somebody who's negative in their life? I mean, really. Most of the people I've said go through life without vision. They don't have a vision. Guess what? There's some who don't want you to have a vision either. Misery loves company, don't you think? Bartimaeus knew that if he started shouting to Jesus and calling attention to himself, that's not going to be a popular thing to do. Nobody's going to like that. And it seems in our culture, it's getting a little harder and a little harder and a little harder to have the courage to stand up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. My hope is in Jesus Christ. There's somebody going to disapprove of that, even here in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Verse 39 says, even those in front of Bartimaeus told him to be quiet, but guess what he did? He started shouting all the more, Son of David, look at me! So if you're going to get your vision back, you're going to have to ignore some voices in your life and say, this is what God has called me to do. This is where God is leading me. I will stay straight. Thirdly, sort of repeat of a point that I had last week, but I need to share this point every week. You got to listen for God, okay? We've got to listen for God. We got to pay attention to God. And how do you do that? You got to be quiet. You've got to be still. Verse 40, Jesus stopped and commanded that Bartimaeus be brought to him. And when he drew near to him, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? You see, Jesus is answering him. Mark said this, he threw his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. We've got to listen for God's voice. Calling and vision go together. We've got to be still, we've got to be quiet, we've got to read his word and to listen. I've never heard his physically voice, but I tell you what, between here and here, I've heard it. You see, we've all been called, haven't we? Not only to do something in this world, everybody's been called by God. We are all called to know Him. We're called to love Him. We're called to serve Him, to share His love with others, to be saved by Him, to be forgiven by Him. We're called to go to heaven one day. But the only question is, are we going to hear that? Isaiah 30:15 says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. One of my favorite scriptures is in John 10. One of the great I am statements that Jesus said about himself. I am the name of God. I'm claiming to be God, he said. I am the good shepherd. And I lay down my life for my sheep only to pick it up again. Get this. And my sheep hear my voice. And what do the sheep do? And they follow him. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Fourthly, we've got to be exact. Exact in what we ask God for. And it may be just this. God, what do you want to do with my life? God, I don't know the future of my life. God, I don't know what you're calling me to do. God, I don't know the future of my job. I don't know the future of my relationship. I don't know the future of my marriage. I don't know the future of my relationship with my children. On and on and on. I don't know the future of my health. It could just go on and on and on. Finances. But we ask. And if we don't know, maybe we need to go home and spend some time thinking. Where do I want to be in a year, in 3 years, in 5 years, in 10 years? You know what? That's what we need to do as a church as well. And we need to listen as leadership. We need to listen to your dreams and your visions and set our goals. See, goals are statements of faith. The Bible loves when we trust Him and we say, God, I feel this is my goal. This is what you're putting in my life. That I'm going to have faith in this. And when I set a goal, I'm saying, Lord, I believe that this is what you'd have me to do. And this is where you're going to lead me and what you want to do in my life and what you want me to do for your glory. And we're thinking, man, this is what I have. It's just too big. Could I share with you? If God solved your biggest problem, which was getting you out of going to hell and getting you into heaven, if God solved your greatest problem, don't you think he could solve everything else in your life? If God loved us enough to send his son Jesus to die for us, don't you think he loves us enough to care for all of our other areas that we have? Bartimaeus was exact. Lord, I want to see. This is the greatest need of my life. This is what I need to do in order to follow you. I want to see. And then he received his answer, his vision in faith, which is our next step in this. That's what Bartimaeus did. Receive your sight, Jesus told him. Your faith has healed you, and instantly he could see. Two important words right there, receive and faith. Receiving and faith go together. That's how you receive your vision, by faith. We welcome it into our lives. That's what Bartimaeus did. He had faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know where he heard of him. I don't know how long he had heard of him. He knew evidently that Jesus Christ was his only answer, because faith is placed in a person, person with a capital P. Faith is believing that something is true because you know. You know it's true. You believe that it's true. Faith is believing that something is going to happen because you believe that someone is able to make it happen. That's what Bartimaeus had in his heart. He placed his faith in Jesus, that what he was asking for, his vision, would be granted by Jesus. This guy may have been physically blind, let me tell you, but I believe actually he could see something. He could see who Jesus Christ was, and that Jesus Christ was his answer. I saw a little thing on TV this past week. It was a little woodworking shop thing, and the guy was explaining about planes. I'm not talking about a B-24 or anything like that. I'm talking about a hand plane that woodworkers will use, okay? Have you ever heard the term tried and true? You know where we get that? There's a plane called a triplane, all right, TRY-PLANE. It's a wood plane that woodworkers use to create a flat surface on a piece of wood. And not only on the flat part of a board, but even on the sides of it, okay, the little thin part of the board. And they'll work, and they'll work, and they'll work. And basically, the old term is they're trying the plane. They're working with a triplane in order to get it flat, to get it even. And when they do, they keep looking at it and keep looking at it, and finally they see the board is tried and it's true. It's level. It's even. It's straight. They found it to be good in its quality and something they could count on. Bartimaeus did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ at this time, evidently. He was a stranger to Jesus Christ, but do you know what? He believed, because he had found Jesus to be tried and true from what he heard. John 1:16 says, "We have all received grace after grace from his fullness. He's tried and he's true." Lastly, Bartimaeus was healed. And what did he do? He got up and went with Jesus on the road that he was traveling. Instantly, the Bible says he could see and he began to follow him, glorifying God. Mark says immediately he could see and he began to follow Jesus on the road. Look at the story again, okay? The Bible begins, "As Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging." By the road, by the roadside. He was sitting beside the road as a beggar. But by the end of the story, he's following Jesus Christ on the road. Now, here's the most important question of today for this sermon, okay? You and I, we may have been a Christian for 90 years, 100 years, 2 years. It doesn't matter. The roadside and the road. Which of those two places is going to describe you in the coming years? Are you going to be sitting on the side of the road watching life pass you by? The parade goes by. and you're sitting on the side of the road? Or are you going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ on the road? One or the other, you're either going to be sitting on the side of the road or you're going to be following Him. Those are the choices that we have. Well, let me tell you, this is how you follow Jesus. Real simple. Five words. One step at a time. We don't run ahead of Him. We don't take shortcuts. We don't take sidelines and field trips. We don't sit around. We follow Him one step at a time. Just one step of obedience, one step of faith at a time. If we don't take the next step of faith, we'll get behind because Christ is continuing to move on. Paul wrote this about his life in Philippians 3. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, the high calling of Christ. But this is one thing that I do. I forget what is behind me, and I'm reaching forward to what is ahead of me. And as I pursue, as I chase the goal of the prize promised by God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus alone. So let me close with two questions. Number one, what is your next step of faith? Right now, I don't know what it is for you, but I'll tell you this. It's whatever you know to do that you haven't done yet. You know you need to do it. I don't know what it is, as I said, but you know it's the right thing to do. You just haven't done it. You've got the vision, you just haven't done it. For some of you, it may be to get baptized. It may be to join the church. It may be to speak a good word, a kind word to someone at work or at school. It may be a neighborhood. It may be in a relationship. It may be you need to ask forgiveness of somebody that's hurt you or ask forgiveness of somebody that you hurt. I don't know what it is. It could be anything like that. But the next question is, why aren't you doing it? If you know what it is, why don't you do it? What are you waiting for? Why not today? Think about this. When Bartimaeus got up that morning, it was a day just like any other day. He was still blind. What was his plan for today? Somebody's going to lead me out to the city gate. Somebody's going to help me to find a place to sit. Somebody's going to hand me my bowl to beg in. Somebody's going to hand me my lunchbox. And here I am the rest of the day, just like any other day in my past. Hundreds of other days. He had no idea that Jesus Christ was going to come by that day. That the Savior of the world was going to walk right in front of him. And he was going to change his life. And when it happened, Bartimaeus took advantage of it. Won't you? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you now for this great little story that Mark and Luke included in their Gospels and their biography of Jesus, of you, Lord. Thank you. I want to thank you for Bartimaeus. I want to thank you that, Lord, he placed his faith and trust in you. And Lord, you honored his faith. You gave him vision. And now, God, that's my prayer for us, each and every one of us. God, open our eyes. If you haven't already, open our eyes to the vision that you have for us. And that's a vision of faith. And to get up and to follow you one step at a time. In Jesus' name, amen. Your step of faith today may be just that God is calling you to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you got a question, you don't know what that's about. I'll be here if you come down to where I am. I'll help you with that. It may be that God is calling you. Part of his vision is you to become a member of this church. I'll help you with that as well. Whatever it may be, if you want to pray to him there, or you come here, you pray. 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 God, give me my vision. Give me your vision. And Lord, help me to follow you every step of the way. Let's stand and sing and you come. Thank you.